Right.
So,
I know more today than I
do. Oh, the one who serves ice cream and does everything.
Nobody gets my name right.
You get drafts and all kinds of cool stuff. It's all color. So Jeff gets to play dazzle us, and
that's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the April 2nd meeting of Orville City Council. This evening will be led in prayer by Pastor Newton Brenneman from New Hope Christian Center. Would you stand with me, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you are the God of breakthrough. Your desire is for us to grow and leave behind hindrances. I thank you for the focus and meaning of this Easter season that brings hope and opportunity. Father, I thank you. I pray for breakthrough for our community, for our city, our schools and businesses, breakthrough for our people, our city government and employees. Father, would you bring breakthrough for these city leaders? Father, whether in our work responsibilities or in our relationships, whether in our dreams for our families, our dreams for our community, or our personal strength and peace, you can bring increase, new higher levels, new awareness. Father, your will, your plans, and desires for us are the best. I pray for breakthrough for these leaders and our community, breakthrough that brings us into the fullness you have in store. For your glory and in your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor. We have roll call, please.
Zhu.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
Affair Jr.
Here.
Hampshire.
Present.
Affair Sr.
Here.
Portman.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Thank you. Everyone should have received a copy of the minutes of our March 19th meeting. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes for that meeting? Sir?
I move they be approved as posted.
Thank you. Second, Mr. Wilson.
Wilson?
Yes.
Asparis Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Abstain.
Asparis Sr.?
Yes.
Portman.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Shoup.
Yes.
Thank you. We have no public comments scheduled for this evening. We'll move to our standing committee reports. Finance. Mr. Aspiris.
Thank you, Mr. President. Finance has no report this evening.
Thank you. Utilities. Mr. Portman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Utilities, we do have one important piece of ordinance on tonight's schedule that I'll speak to when we get to that. It's not a dire emergency, but we do want to pass it. So thank you. I'll speak to it then.
Thank you. Health and safety, Mr. Aspiris.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report tonight.
Thank you. Parks and Recreation, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also have no report.
Thank you. Transportation, Mr. Shoup.
Thank you, Mr. President. I also have no report.
And Planning, Mr. Hampshire.
Thank you, Mr. President. Nothing to report, sir.
Thank you. Ordinance and Personnel, Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. No report here either.
Thank you. There are no special committee reports. We'll move to administrative reports. Mayor Hanworth.
Thank you,
Mr. President. I have several items tonight. One is just our employee of the month for April. Is Joe Varenko from the Service Department. He started in May of 1989 as a laborer in the parts room at the Lacey Center. During his 28 years, Joe has held many positions within our department, working in the streets, cemetery, and the parks department, where he currently oversees maintenance. Joe is an experienced certified arborist and has financially saved money for the city as he is involved in the trimming, removal, and maintenance of our trees in the tree lawn right-of-ways. Joe enjoys playing golf in his free time and has volunteered at the Bridgestone World Tour of Golf for several years. He lives in Orville with his wife Nancy, and he has two adult daughters, four grandchildren, and enjoys any amount of time he gets to spend with them. Also, we are in April. Didn't look much like it this morning, but we are now in April. And so just a reminder that April is our cleanup Orville month traditionally, and as the weather does break here in the next few weeks, hopefully groups in town can get a chance to get out and help pick up some of the litter that gets blown around all winter long with the weather that we have. So keep that in mind. Children, make sure if you are doing that that you have permission from your parents, first of all, or have parents go with you if you're helping to clean up any areas in your neighborhood. Let's get Orville ready for summer. And also I'd like to mention that the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast, which is always the first Thursday in May, so that'll be May 3rd, that's coming up. That'll be at Schmidt Hall this year, and that is at 6:45 a.m., and that is the starting time so that people can get finished and back to work by 8 o'clock, at least on their way. So that's coming up. There should be more information coming out on that pretty soon. And that is all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Our Safety Service Director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Street Department is getting started on basins in preparation for our street projects this year. Also, even though, as the mayor mentioned, it didn't feel like it this morning, it is time for the compost center to open up. So the first day is this Wednesday, April 4th. The hours of operation are the same as typical, 7:30 a.m. to 11:15 a.m., 12:15 p.m. to 3:15 p.m., and then Saturdays as well, 8 a.m. to noon. Items accepted include materials that will compost only, such as leaves, grease, branches, shrub trimmings, and trees, excluding stumps and roots. And that's my report for tonight.
Thank you. We will now move to our Utilities Director, Mr. Brediger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just had one comment tonight. At the Monday night Utility Board meeting, we held our second public meeting related to the proposed landlord policy. We only had one landlord that had one property attend the meeting. Heard a couple comments. We have made a couple changes in the policy since we held our first public hearing. Right now we are planning on making final adjustments and are expected to approve that landlord policy at the April 9th Utility Board meeting. With those rules to go into effect January of next year. Other than that, I do have a couple comments along with Mr. Corkman concerning Resolution 818 tonight. And that's all I have tonight, sir.
Okay, thank you. I'll move to our Finance Director, Ms. Stremmel.
Thank you, Mr. President. The only item I have tonight is the fund balance report for the period ending February 28th of 2018. I would just ask for a motion to approve that report subject to audit.
Mr. Barton.
I move that we approve the report due to subject to audit.
Second, Mr. Spears.
Ms. Spears, Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Aspera Sr.?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shue?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Okay. Is that the only thing that you had tonight, Mr.?
That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'll move to our Law Director,
Mrs. Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
Thank you. For this evening, the only thing I would like to remind people of is, yes, it is April. Yes, we did have snow, so if any of you know a weatherman, chastise him severely. And let's get spring to start. I would certainly enjoy it. We'll now move to old business. Mr. Larson.
Ordinance E18. I move this ordinance be placed on second reading.
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ms. Bear Sr.?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Ms. Bear Jr.?
Yes.
Ordinance E18. An ordinance amending section 151.08 of the codified ordinances of the city of Oroville, Ohio, relating to the compensation of elected officials and certain appointed officers.
Any comment from anyone? Mr. Corkman.
Yeah, I'll speak to it. There was a good article in the Daily Record, explained it pretty well, I think. She talked to a couple of us. It's a long time since the last, and it's a great time to do it again. It's not pleasant, but we have to adjust it.
Right. Okay. I think this should go for three readings.
Yes, it'll move three.
We'll move to new business now.
Resolution 518. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Ms. Bear Sr.?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Bears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes. Resolution 518, a resolution imposing a moratorium for a period not to exceed 90 days from the effective date of this resolution on the issuance and processing of any permits allowing retail dispensaries, cultivators, or processors of medical marijuana within the city of Oroville, state of Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Have any discussion on this one?
I'll speak to this, Mr. President. This is a 90-day moratorium. Council previously has passed two other moratoriums. The first one was a six-month or 180-day moratorium. And then we extended that an additional 365 days or a year. So the current moratorium expires tomorrow, and we wanted to have something in place to give us additional time to consider this. I'm sure you're aware there's another piece of legislation in front of you to consider a ban, and I know council will consider how it wants to handle that. But we wanted to have basically some space to have an opportunity to decide what, if anything, you want to do as far as any zoning restrictions or anything like that. So this 90-day moratorium is intended to give council time to respond to that.
Thank you. Anyone else have any comments?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Shute.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Ms. Bears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ms. Bears Sr.?
Yes. I move resolution number 518 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Spears.
Larson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears Sr.?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes. Ordinance F18. I move this ordinance be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Spears.
Chu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears Sr.?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes. Ordinance F-18, an ordinance amending and or supplementing section 1120.03 prohibited uses of chapter 1120 Planning and Zoning Code of the City of Oroville, Ohio, concerning prohibited uses to prohibit the cultivation, processing, and retail dispensing of marijuana in all zoning districts of the City of Oroville, Ohio.
I will just briefly touch on this, and Mr. Wheeler may jump in at some point as well. You've seen this, we've considered these moratoriums, and you've just passed a short one as well. This has been in the news for the last 2 years. The state of Ohio is geared to adopt legislation and allowing dispensaries in September of this year, although there's been a lot of question as to whether that's actually going to be able to happen. There's a lot of issues surrounding the cultivators and the dispensaries and the process of getting those things in place, so there's some doubt about whether that's going to happen or not. But many municipalities have taken the position that they're going to go ahead and ban or in some way limit or restrict within certain zoning districts. So that's what's in front of you. I'm not sure what the state's going to do. We've been waiting for 2 years to figure out how this is going to play out and what's ultimately going to happen. I'm not sure we still have good answers about that. I've done some research and was unable to find definitive information about where this is headed specifically with the state and whether they're going to be in a position to open in September. But kind of trying to get ahead of that and not being reactionary, we wanted to have something in front of you to consider.
Questions? The state's law, as written, is marijuana for medical use.
Correct.
With a prescription.
Correct.
And as I understand it, too, it's not in a smokable form.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Will it ultimately be possible, and I know we'll discuss this in a committee meeting at some point, to differentiate the use of a dispensary between medical and, let's say, at some point in the future, if recreational marijuana becomes available?
That's a good question.
Be restricted.
Correct. I guess I don't know the answer to that because that recreational in Ohio at least has not been passed.
Right.
I can tell you, this is what the question I thought you were going to ask me, which is if someone, of course, if someone in Oroville would have a prescription, they could use it whether we prohibit it or not. You know, they could get it elsewhere and use it legally within the city. But as far as whether we could, through our zoning, could restrict the type of usage, I'm not sure. I'm not sure, and frankly, I'm not sure how enforceable that would be. That's probably the bigger question. It's not as necessarily a legal question, but maybe more of a practical one. How would we determine how that's being used and whether, I guess, that would be maybe an enforcement issue for the police department, if whether someone had a prescription or whether they were using it in the event that recreational use became permitted in Ohio.
Right.
I guess we'd have to look at that.
That's the tough call, and I think that's one of the things that we'll have to face is if someone is legally prescribed this for a condition, cancer, any number of different ailments, I personally feel that it'd be a shame for them to have to go somewhere else to fill a medical prescription. At the same time, I'm not an advocate of recreational marijuana myself, but I just want to explore the possibility of whether or not we'll be able to draw the line for medical use. So,
I don't know that I've seen that other municipalities have done that. Again, because it's something that isn't currently legal in Ohio and maybe never will be. So I think we'd have to probably address that at the time. I guess we could, at least if council decides to permit it or to permit it in some form for medical purposes, the legislation could be written that way, that it is for medical purposes, and then we could revisit if we had to further tighten that. I think that's probably the approach I would take at this point.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Spears.
Maybe this question is for Mr. Wheeler. Has there been any interest or any request for permits?
I have not had any at all. No.
Okay. How about what is the closest municipality that might be dealing with this? As far as somebody set up shop?
I think I saw Youngstown, Columbus maybe also. I've done some online research. They were big cities. There are pockets of municipalities that have approved it. Some have even actively sought dispensaries or cultivators. Many, of course, are banning it. I found many more of those. I couldn't find a list of either way, like, you know, a definitive list that had all of the municipalities that had done bans or all the municipalities that had not elected to allow these to be in their municipality. So I'm not sure if I have a good number on that. I couldn't find anything either through the Municipal League. So I think those are still kind of, there's a lot of moratoriums out there, and I think a lot of municipalities haven't made a final decision yet as far as what they're going to do.
Okay, thank you.
Interestingly, too, this is probably one of those lightning rod issues that bring back the thought that even though municipalities may enter ordinances against it, we're completely surrounded in Wayne County by unzoned townships. So, you know, not to advertise that fact, but every once in a while an issue comes up that makes folks in the townships realize how little control they actually have over things like this. And sure, this may be one of those times where they can consider such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
As we consider the zoning, it's not an all or nothing. We can say this is only for retail.
Yes, you could, as with any other type of zoning, you could. Now, I know we're in the process of overhauling our zoning code, and so maybe we'd want to look at that as well. I guess I don't have an opinion about that specifically.
You have to have a license to be a cultivator anyway, but, I mean, we can zone that out. We can zone the, what's the other one?
The three different types, yeah, the cultivator, processor, or retail dispensing, sure.
Okay. And I do want to request a committee meeting. Be nice to have it next Monday. What committee you want to put that in, President? But
I would think with the type of ordinance that we're looking at there, that should go under health and safety.
Mm-hmm.
That would, in my mind, would be the most obvious one. And if Mr. Aspiris would like to schedule that, we could have a committee meeting. We would be able to get a little more information. I'm not sure how much more information would come up between now and whenever that committee meeting would be. When would be a convenient time for that committee meeting? Usually it would be after our meeting as City Council or after one of the Utility Board meetings.
I know I can't do next Monday. I already have something scheduled about the same time, but I could definitely do the following Monday after our meeting.
Okay.
I'm not sure what that date is.
It worked better for me.
16th.
Or prior.
Depending
on what would work with you guys. What's that date?
Well, we have the moratorium that mm-hmm. gets us 90 days.
The 16th. Correct.
So there's not like there's a hurry on this. We just passed the moratorium. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Right. And you can.
The moratorium does the same thing as this, but for 90 days, correct?
I have to look for me, but
It's an extension of the current moratorium that we have for 90 more days, correct?
Okay.
And we could do another one if we needed that time.
Right.
I heard somebody mention also it does not have to be after our other meeting. We can have it before our regular meeting. Sometimes we've had committee meetings at 7 o'clock since our meeting starts at 7:30. It would just be that we would be limited in time for discussion to a little bit less than a half an hour.
Well, they might
have any preference.
I'm not available before on that particular day, on the 16th. Afterward,
you are not.
I am not available for a prior meeting.
Okay.
What about the 23rd? Mr. Spears is right. I mean, you do have a little more time if you want to do it after the next.
I don't understand the rush, but I mean, if you've got to have it one day.
Well, I don't know that we do. It's purely up to you guys if you want to even wait. You can even table this issue if you'd like.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if you decide you don't want to take it the three readings consecutively, you could table it for a period of time until you've had an opportunity to have your meeting and have your discussion and make a decision.
Is this something we are going to be doing our zoning code? It is something we'd like to probably get wrapped up one way or another before we get that finished. I know that'll take a while. But
oh, yeah. It'll take a while. Yeah.
A year?
Yeah, about a year. Yeah.
We've got a September deadline as far as the current law, though. I mean, that's kind of a time when most municipalities are trying to have a decision made.
Would the 23rd work?
I think that would be fine.
That would work.
And even if we didn't table it, we still have another third reading.
That's an after the utility.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If you're directly following the utility meeting.
So the 23rd following utility meeting, we would have a committee meeting of the Health and Safety Committee. Would you be able to attend that meeting also if there are any legal questions?
23rd. I'll check my calendar. I'll make it a priority if I can.
Okay.
So
I didn't bring my calendar.
Are you requesting that, Mr. Corfman, just for this issue?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
What are we talking about, 7 o'clock on this?
Okay. He's sure the police chief is. I talked to him earlier. I think he's ready. He'll be aware.
They meet at 6:30.
Mr. Brediger, about what time should we be thinking about for that meeting following utility board? Roundabouts.
On the 23rd?
Yes, sir.
6:45.
There's nothing on that I'm aware of for that board meeting. They should take the board meeting beyond 7. The next public utility board meeting will be doing the annual report on that one, so that board meeting will be a little bit longer, but there shouldn't be anything that should not have that board there much past 7 o'clock okay. on
Thank
the 23rd
you.
That I'm aware of right now.
Okay, any other comments? Okay.
Moving right along.
Mr. President?
Yes, ma'am.
The fiscal officer certificate for resolution 618 is on file.
Thank you. Now it's your turn, Mr. Lewis.
Resolution 618. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Corfman.
Wilson?
Yes.
Ms. Bears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ms. Bears Sr.?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Resolution 618. A resolution authorizing the mayor to enter into a contract and or contracts with the State of Ohio Department of Transportation for the purpose to perform pavement repairs and resurface State Route 57 in the city of Oroville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Comments on this one?
Thank God.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. President. This is the final piece of legislation that's required by the state, the Ohio Department of Transportation, in order to proceed with our Route 57 Main Street asphalt overlay base repair project, concrete street replacement as well. The estimate from ODOT is just under $800,795,455 with base repair, concrete replacement, as well as the asphalt overlay. We did budget $850,000, so we are within budget and gives us a little room in case bids come in a little higher or if there's any kind of change orders. So we just ask for your approval to keep the project moving forward. They are hoping to go out for bids here in the next few weeks and begin the project the week after July 4th.
Comments?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Shoup.
Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears Sr.?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
I move resolution number 618 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Espiris.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Espiris Sr.?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Ms. Pierce Jr.?
Yes.
Resolution number 718. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Ms. Pierce Sr.?
Yes.
Workman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Duke?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Resolution number 718, a resolution authorizing the Board of Control to procure quotes from various vendors and then enter into an agreement and or agreements without bidding to replace a portion of the roof of the fire station number 1 for the fire department of the city of Oroville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Wheeler. Thank you, Mr. President. This is a project that we discussed in the budget workshop, the final appropriation workshop. As Mr. Spears Jr. can attest, there is a part of the fire station roof that literally is dripping quite heavily into buckets below it. We've kind of kept it band-aided, if you will, until the appropriate final appropriations were approved. Now that they are, we'd like to move forward with the replacement of that portion. It has been budgeted between both EMS and fire department capital funds. So we request the permission to get quotes to try to get the project moving forward, and we'll obviously go with the low quote.
Anyone have any questions for Mr. Wheeler?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on 3 separate days be suspended.
Second,
Mr. Spears.
Workman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Ms. Pierce Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ms. Pierce Sr.?
Yes.
I move resolution number 718 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Spears Jr. again.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Ms. Pierce Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ms. Pierce Sr.?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Resolution number 818. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Corkman.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Ms. Pierce Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Ms. Pierce Sr.?
Yes.
Corkman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Resolution number 818, a resolution authorizing the Director of Utilities and or the Public Utilities Board of Control to enter into a contract without bidding for well maintenance and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Brediger. Anybody else want to talk?
Sure.
Go ahead.
It's routine maintenance that usually comes under the $100,000 that the utility board is authorized. It had one collapse, and it's just a minor amount, which starts to add up. It's mostly routine maintenance that we've done. It is 4 wells that we're doing, and because we're trying to get the work done pretty quick, we are requesting it be passed tonight. Some of the more details, the estimate is around $140,000. Their money is in the final appropriations at $160,000 to cover this. The real details, I'm sure, will come from Director Brediger. But it's pretty much they were having issues, and it's just routine. We're just catching up.
Okay.
As Mr. Corfin mentioned there, we normally do 3 wells a year, and they average anywhere from $20,000 to $30,000 a year. This year, during one of our inspections, we did run into a little bit more extensive damage on one of the wells, and due to scheduling conflicts last year, we actually fell one well behind. So we're just adding additional well this year. We'll get caught up, and then hopefully we'll be back to our normal routine. But Mr. Corkman stated there, normally we have these covered under the utility boards and a resolution. This one just kind of puts us a little bit over the limit that requires council legislation for work that collectively exceeds $100,000. And I'd be happy to answer any other questions that you might have. again, we would like to get this approved tonight, if possible. This allows us to schedule this work in over the next 4 or 5 months with the ball drilling company that we do business with.
Anyone have any questions? What was the name of that company?
Pardon me?
What was the name
That's
of that?
That's with Ohio Drilling. Okay. Out of Maslin.
Okay. We've dealt with them quite a bit.
Long time.
Yeah.
Decades. Okay. Yes.
How many wells do we have?
We have 11 total.
Okay.
All of them are in Wayne County except one that's in Starr County.
Okay.
Mr. Corfman.
Yeah, as explained to me, the partial collapse or the partial cave-in, it just pretty much wasted the pump, if I understand
that's
it correctly.
Right, yeah.
So at that point, the debris doesn't go into the rest of the system, so there's no further clean out required. We did get a new pump out of it, I guess, or rebuilt. That's ready to go.
On pumps.
Well, they're running, 24 hours a day for the most part. So we move a lot of water. We process about 2 million gallons a day, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Any other comments?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on 3 separate days be suspended.
Second, Mr. Corfman.
Wilson?
Yes.
Asparis Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis Sr.?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
I move resolution number 818 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Asparis Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis Sr.?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Resolution 918. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second, Mr. Hampshire.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis Sr.?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Asparis Jr.?
Yes. Resolution number 918. A resolution authorizing the Board of Control to enter into an agreement and or agreements with the State of Ohio Purchasing Cooperative Department of Administrative Services to purchase 2017, 2018, or 2019 Ford Police Interceptor Utility V6 all-wheel drive vehicle, or alternatively, to purchase said vehicle from another dealer upon equivalent terms, conditions, and specifications, but at a lower price than it can be purchased through the state contract as allowed by Ohio Revised Code Section 125.04, or alternatively, to advertise for bids and enter into an agreement and or agreements for said purchase to include an optional offset to the cost of said vehicle via the trade-in of 2004 Ford Crown Victoria and declaring an emergency.
A lot of reading on that one. Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the replacement vehicle we had also discussed in the budget workshop. We did put in 2017, 18, or 19 just in case there's maybe a model from a previous year sitting on the lot that's still there that we could get an even a better price than usual. So that we did include that. It does not have to be approved tonight. This is the vehicle that we are going to replace the 04 Crown Vic for the K-9 officer, Mike Smith. So I'm sure he'll appreciate the extra room with this vehicle. And again, it doesn't have to be purchased or approved tonight.
Any questions?
I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on 3 separate days be suspended.
Second.
Second, Mr. Asparis.
Asparis Sr.?
Yes.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Asparis Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes. I move resolution number 918 be adopted as read.
Second, Mr. Hampshire.
Corfman?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Shoup?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Asparis Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Asparis Sr.?
Yes.
Okay. That finishes our items on the open new business for this evening. Well, now move to our annual report from the Finance Department. Ms. Lemon.
Thank you. Jeff was supposed to do that. He's the popcorn guy.
Or juju beans or anything.
What's that?
Or juju beans or something.
Those little chocolate coins.
Yeah, I didn't bring them.
Not carry out.
That's right.
Those two.
What am I supposed to do?
They come with the snacks.
They want snacks.
I did send you an updated financial annual report this evening. I just sent it out to you, so it's updated than the one I put in the iPad.
It's still a profile.
How's your vacation?
Oh, very nice.
Good.
Gorgeous.
Was it really?
Mid-60s, sunny. Every single night. It was beautiful.
Sounds great.
Very nice. Too short.
Did he spell it?
Yeah, please. We actually went and found it. We didn't buy it. We did find it. It's called Amen.
What is it?
Angel man or men. I'm not sure.
That might be the newest one.
Oh, okay. Because I asked about angel by charity or whatever. That's a Googler or something.
Moogler. Yeah.
And she said she moved to the fragrance outlet or whatever, and they had the woman's version, but they didn't. They had this A-man or whatever.
Oh, gotcha. Because I thought Mike said Angel on it, too.
Okay. Well, maybe they just didn't have it.
Yeah.
So when I first saw it, I didn't like it, but I took a sample, and I walked around for a while, and after a few minutes, I liked it a lot. Yeah, it was really strong initially.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure.
So,
yeah, I remember I put it on for just like, bathing in that?
Yeah.
Like, trust me, it'll be fine.
Yeah, it took a couple of minutes to kind of mellow out a little bit.
Yeah.
But the one he's wearing right now is, like, awful. And it doesn't mellow, it's just awful. So I was like, okay, we need to do something here. The problem is when you go to the store, they all start to smell alike.
You
have like a whole counter full of them. They, it's hard to distinguish.
Yeah, you smell 20 of them. Right. Like, oh, like that one. Which one was it?
Right, it's hard to distinguish them. And
Connor's the only one I know of. He's the one who's the
What's the price on that SUV, Steve?
It is
$28,000. Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, the state contract prices are unbelievable.
Is it a Ford?
It is a Ford, yeah. It's a police interceptor, too, so it's got that special engine in it, too.
Oh. Does Whites have it, or do you have to get it?
Well, we usually let Whites try to beat it. That's why we put that dollar less thing in it.
Right, right.
And sometimes they do, and sometimes they're like, yeah, we're
not worth it. Yeah.
But the majority of the cost is just equipment.
All the stuff to upgrade it, yeah.
Yeah, with the lights, like bar and the...
Right. You probably can't transfer out any of the stuff in the current vehicle retrofit or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and stripe, stripe and all that.
I can see perfect. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Janet Strucker, Finance Director for the City. Tonight I'd like to present the Finance Department's annual report. In the Finance Department, we are responsible for maintaining the City's accounting and financial systems. That includes accounts payable, accounts receivable, payroll, investments, our fixed assets, utility billing and collection, and also municipal tax collection. We do use fund accounting to keep the money segregated. We have 40 funds. The focus of this presentation, though, will be on those major funds. We have five major funds, We'll discuss some of the other ones briefly, but tonight we'll spend most of our time on the general and capital funds and all of the enterprise funds. This first slide shows the governmental funds in a format that's very similar to your monthly fund balance report, the one that you received this evening. The major governmental funds are the general fund and also the capital improvement fund. Also listed on this page, we have 18 special revenue funds that are also classified in this area. Those funds are established to account for grants or revenues for a specific purpose other than your general fund expenses and your capital improvement expenses. When reviewing the report, you'll see the general fund had positive net income in 2017. We'll go over that a little later. The capital fund had negative net income. Generally, that's a cause for concern, but in this case, it was simply a timing issue with grant proceeds and also reimbursements with all of the projects that were completed in 2017. When you look at the remainder of the funds, most had positive net income, but there were a few that did erode into that carryover balance, so I just want to take a minute and go over those. The first one is the gas tax. Revenue from this fund comes from our gasoline tax and also motor vehicle registration fees for the city of Oroville. Expenditures are restricted to those that are associated with the maintenance of streets. Street maintenance is either paid from this fund, the general fund, or the capital improvement fund. And unfortunately, the revenue from gas tax and vehicle registrations is never enough to cover that street maintenance. The cemetery maintenance fund, permissible expenditures are limited to those for the upkeep and beautification of the cemetery. If we have an option to purchase some of these items out of funds other than the general fund, sometimes we make that decision. That's what these funds are for. In 2017, we did purchase a Ventrec tractor and also a Kubota RTV. Those expenses did exceed the revenue in 2017, and that's the reason for the negative net income. When you review some of the other ones, it had the enforcement and education, $348, law enforcement, $938. Most of those are simply timing issues. The parking meter, it doesn't take in any revenue any longer, so it's always going to have negative net income until those funds are depleted. So if we move back to the general fund, this is the main operating account for the city. Despite the positive net income, we did experience some tax revenue losses in 2017. We had some discussion about the reasons for this decline during our 2018 final appropriation workshop. Most of the decline is related to income tax. When the state of Ohio mandated that we change our municipal income tax ordinance, the state also changed taxing due dates. So we received larger than normal revenue in 2016 that normally would have been received in 17, and we can see that impact here. We should level again in 2018, assuming that our tax revenues remain consistent. You can see property tax was up slightly. Intergovernmental was down. That is due to grant receipts that were received in 2016 for Mark's radios, and a similar grant was not received in 17. Charges for services is up $33,000. This is a couple different reasons. Pool and concession receipts were up. Mr. Wheeler touched on that during his annual report. Our EMS receipts were also up. Chief Bishop and Mr. Wheeler mentioned there was a 17% increase in EMS calls, and the additional revenue from those EMS services is reflected here. Fees, licenses, and permits and other items when compared to 2016 were up. That is due to the sale of a lot in our industrial park. Now you can see we also added a revenue category for our lodging tax. In 2017, we collected $18,000 there. This next slide is looking at the same revenue. It's just looking at it a little differently. Hopefully, it can give you a visual impression where the revenues do come from. The primary revenue source, again, for the city is income tax. which accounted for 73% of our total revenues. If we break that down further in the inside box, you can see that withholding is responsible for 78%. Business net profit is 18%. This was down about 34% when you compare it to 2016. And 4% is attributable to individual income tax, which interestingly is up about 10%. This next slide compares general fund revenues from 2012 to 2017. You can see income tax has always been our main income source. As discussed in the last slide, you can see that the business receipts have gone down. Last year they accounted for 24%. This year they're down to 19%. This is an area where we've been seeing a gradual decline over the years. It's reflected here. With the mandate allowance of net operating loss carry forward that begins this year, we could see greater declines in revenue in this category, so we'll have to watch that very closely. Our property tax always fluctuates between 7 and 8%, nothing inconsistent there. Our intergovernmental has decreased from 9 to 5. We've talked about that many times over the past few years with the loss of inheritance tax, the loss of some of our local government funding. Our charges for services is consistent, and again, you'll see the spike in fines, licenses, permits, other. That again is the industrial park land sale. Now we can take a look at the expenditures comparing 2016 to 2017. Last year's expenditures for the general fund were about $5.6 million. They were up about 1%. You can see the fire department had about a $103,000 increase from 2016. Again, several reasons. We talked about the increase in EMS calls at 17%. Our fire calls were up about 10%. And there are also other additional expenses that are associated with those increases. Also, we did purchase some air packs in 2017. Administrative, finance, and law, human resources, that increased less than 1%. There really isn't anything significant to report there. This is the area that covers our insurance, our engineering expenses, our health department fees. So most of those items increased slightly, but not enough to make a significant difference. Cemetery, parks, pools, and recreations decreased due to some facility maintenance and new equipment that was purchased in 2016, and we did not repeat those same purchases or similar ones in 2017. This slide lets you take a look at those expenses a little differently. 50% of the expenditures from the general fund are for police and fire services for the community. That's followed by the combination of many departments, administrative, finance, again, human resources and law, followed by the cemetery, parks, and pools at 9%, and city council, city hall, and the mayor's office at 5%. The next slide shows our expenditure trends from 2012 to 2017. Again, they're fairly consistent, with the exception of the retirement of our debt service for the second industrial park, which occurred in 2015, and you can see that's represented in orange here. It is no longer a part of the column in 2016. And finally, for our general fund, this is a recap of revenue compared to expenditures for the last 5 years, as well as our ending fund balance. The only year in recent history where our expenditures have exceeded our revenue was in 2015, and that was due to the early retirement of our debt service for the second industrial park. The interest rate was a little steep for the current rates, and so we wanted to get that taken care of. So that was paid off in 2015. The next slide shows revenue trends for the capital fund. Grants, as you know, can vary from year to year. In 2014, you can see where we changed the allocation of income tax receipts. And we also made that one-time transfer of $500,000 from the general fund. It is reflected there. Safety Service does a great job securing grant funding, but as you can see, the majority of capital spending is supported by our income tax, so we need to monitor the changes in that very closely. Mr. Wheeler went over capital expenditures in detail in his annual report, but I just wanted to give you a brief look at the areas where capital funds are being spent. The majority are in street repairs, which is represented as gray in these columns. This has been an area of focus with City Council in recent years, and you can certainly see that here. The percentage shift in the park, that is the orange-yellow color, in 2016, that was for the rails to trails expenses. Those were partially reimbursable. The expenditures in 2017 that caused the increase in administrative, that was for the purchase of the Bowman Dry Cleaner building and two air handlers for City Hall that were over 27 years old. The next slide is a portion, again, of your monthly fund balance report. This is for our proprietary funds. It includes the utilities and our internal service funds, such as employee health insurance. Electric across all the funds had net income of about $5 million. That'll be very helpful with some of the projects that are on the horizon for the electric utility. I'm sure the utility director will discuss those in his annual report at the next council meeting. Wastewater across all funds had positive net income of $51,000, and water also had positive net income. The next few slides take a look at each utility separately. Again, I won't spend a whole lot of time on this because the utility director, I'm sure, will go over some of this. The electric funds, you can see, had a $2.6 million increase in revenue when you look at 2016 compared to 2017. It is mainly being driven by the charges for services. One item that's included in there is a reimbursement of $3 million from our insurance carrier for damages related to our generator. We also saw an increase in our industrial and commercial customers. This was representative of a 3.3% increase in usage. And again, similar to the slides for general capital, it gives you a little different perspective where the revenue for the electric utility comes from. Industrial commercial at 37%, GS small, medium, and large 23%. So those are very important to the electric fund revenues. You can see residential is at 21%, and that's also very important. Revenue trends for the last 5 years, they're very consistent. The customer base has not changed much in the last 6 years. One thing I would like to point out on this, though, is our wholesale sales. You can see the decline in that from 15%. In 2014, it was 20%. It's down to 6%. To put that in a dollar perspective, we can see numbers $4 million, $5 million. Last year it was $2 million, and it'll probably decrease even more. Expenditures for the electric utility also decreased when comparing 16 to 17. There were a lot of items that contributed to this. As you know, there were a lot of changes made in operations. We also had the generator repairs and some customer projects that occurred in 2016 that did not reoccur in 17. Our natural gas increased about 2.2% with our natural gas conversion. We also had a reduction in legal fees and professional fees due to our resolution with the EPA on some issues. So a lot of moving parts there to look at. The next slide breaks out those expenditures. As you can see, purchase power and in the future it'll be natural gas will be one of the main drivers of materials and supplies moving forward. The expenditure trends for the electric fund, again, they're fairly consistent. You do see some increase in 2017, the contractual, those are our generator repairs, some of our generator repairs. The decrease in materials and supplies, It's all related to our changes in operations. This slide again shows a comparison of revenues compared to expenses for the last 5 years. Again, it's fairly consistent. Our revenues have not exceeded expenditures in the recent years. We'll take a look at the water. Our water revenue has decreased about $368,000. You can see almost the exact same amount was our interdepartmental. We've discussed this quite a few times over the last few years. This is the impact of the change in operations at the power plant. The main sources of water revenue are consistent among residential and industrial and commercial customers. With the exception of interdepartmental, that breakdown is pretty consistent every year. And you can see that in our revenue trends. We do have the shift in 2017 because of the loss of revenues from the electric utility. Expenditures decreased about $800,000 in 2017. In 2016, we cleaned several lime lagoons, and we also painted our clarifiers. That work, or something similar, did not occur in 2017, so that's part of the reason for the decrease. The other item was our debt service. If you recall, we made an additional payment on our note for $300,000, and we did not do that in 2017, anticipating the payoff of that this year. When you look at the areas that contribute to the expenditures for water, you can see why we're working to pay off that debt service. It's at 21%. The personnel, wages, and benefits at 44%. Again, it's a service utility. You would expect that number to be high. Expenditure trends are very consistent, again, for this utility, with the exception of the contractual work that I mentioned that occurred in 2016. This is, again, a comparison of our revenues and expenditures. In 2016, those expenses did exceed revenue, and that was for the additional note payment that we made. Wastewater revenue decreased $284,000 when compared to 2016. The biggest reason for that was our penalty fees did go down. We also had some interdepartmental reductions. The revenue sources split pretty evenly between residential and combining industrial, commercial, and our food processors. The revenue trends, you can see again, they're very consistent with the exception of those penalty fees that were reduced in 2017 down to 5% from an average of last 2 years at 11%. Our expenditures for the wastewater were also lower in 2016. This was primarily due to spending on capital projects that was deferred. Recap of those expenditures, again, personnel and wages is the majority of that. It is a service utility. And when you compare the trends for those expenditures, with the exception of the payoff of debt in 2012, they're fairly consistent. And also in 2015, when we made some capital improvements. Our revenues compared to expenditures, at least in 13 and 14, we did not exceed our revenue. 15 and 16, we did. That was partially due to the capital projects that needed to be completed. This was one of the reasons for the change in rates, and that should look different in the coming years. These are the last of our funds, our debt service, our capital projects, special assessments, and fiduciary. And at the bottom, it also shows our total funds. So you can see we had ended with a balance of $62 million. Across all funds, we had a $5.5 million increase. Our outstanding debt, just want to talk briefly about that. That's a six-year history. As you know, we work aggressively to pay off interest-bearing debt. Our economic development bonds, those were for our second industrial park that was paid off in 2013. Our 2000 street improvements was paid off in 2014. In 2015, we did take out a zero interest OPWC loan to help with street repairs. The balance on that is $468,000. And the remainder of the debt belongs to our water utility. We will be paying off the note. That's the last item under the enterprise funds. We'll be paying that off this year. This slide simply shows each debt item, the anticipated payoff, and also the current interest rate. Green represents the water utility, and the blue is the tax-supported funds. Our investments at the end of 2017 were $33.6 million. We invest in quite a bit of government agencies, FFCB, FHLB. We also have a small amount in CDARS, and we do have what we classify as other investments. That is commercial paper, and we also have our investment that the wastewater and electric utility made in our water utility. We did receive the GFOA Award of Excellence in Financial Reporting for the 16th consecutive year in 2016. Our 17 audit and CAF are not complete, but we don't anticipate any issues. And I'd like to thank the Finance Department, the other directors, the mayor and council for their support in 2017, and thank you for your time this evening. Any questions? Yes.
Hey, Janet, what is our ROI running now? Is it just over 1%?
Yes. Mm-hmm. For our investments?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Some of our commercial paper is a little higher than that, but it's very short term.
Right.
So our longer investments, though, are right in that range.
Okay. I remember 3 or 4 years ago, we were struggling at around 0.5%.
Yes.
That's a little better.
We have improved. In the general fund, our interest receipts have increased about 54%, but it's nowhere near what it was back in 2008, 2007. Most of the entire finance department's expenses could be covered with the interest income, and now we're about $58,000. So, but it is moving up, so we're grateful for that.
Thanks.
Any other questions?
Was that fun?
Yeah.
That was fun. Gave me a bunch of homework assignments. So.
She kept referring back to you. She set the bar pretty high for you.
Back and amend my whole report. I had it done last week.
Yeah, fortunately, yes. Increased your responsibilities.
Why, I was leaving the pleasure back to you.
Oh, right in your face, yeah.
Oh, I turned it off. That's interesting.
You guys need sunglasses there.
It's
so
around 180 degrees in San Juan now.
Yeah. Just hold the power button down for a little bit.
I think it's too warm.
Typical girl needs a cool ball.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Thank you, Ms. Grimlin. Anyone have anything this evening for the good of the order?
Everybody's jumping up and down. We have one item. Yes, sir.
Mr. President, I move we adjourn.
Thank you.
Second.
Second, Mr. Chu.
Larson?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Spears Jr.?
Yes.
Hampshire?
Yes.
Spears Sr.?
Yes.
Portman?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending our meeting. We're now adjourned.
I think he sank my seat too.
No,
I don't blame you for it.
I don't know how to run it.
Did I see a Redeker with unclaimed funds?
You did, yeah.
Okay. You got that under control?
Number three doors.
Okay. But the other one is just
on. Sure, 42 people probably told you that.
They did.
Church
on us.
Yeah. Mike, to your question, I've never seen it done this way. I think there has to be.
Does it have to be a time limit?
Never seen it without one. I think there has to be a period of time where.
Why do we pick 90 days?
Well, yeah. We thought we were going to pass the end of the application, so that gave us the time we needed from tomorrow when it expires. And so, and also, I guess we should have gotten a better pulse and decided to probably have a little longer than 90 days. We can always do another, whatever. September, I think early September is when the new law goes into effect. We don't meet in August, so that gives us, you know, we've got 4 months to study in. So, but as far as indefinite, I've never seen that before, and I think that defeats the point of having a moratorium, frankly, that there's like a period of time where this isn't going to happen, and there's an expectation that something is going to happen after that. I looked at a lot of them. Everybody does 6 months to a year. Or what we've done here, the idea that we're going to have a committee that and make a decision.
I was curious.
Worcester is doing the same thing where you said that saw that the data.
Thanks.
But I mean, if you're saying make it more.
I couldn't find a place to decline with an explanation. So I didn't want to just say no, but I'm going to be out of town. So I have anything. Maybe I'll send
a battery thing really close to.
I'm just going to be gone. Actually, I'm not sure if I have something that day. I think that might be my last day as myself. I quit. So I can't miss that. So I as soon as I said that, I was like,
a lot of areas
and that's probably my last month.
That are going to be able to change.
This month needs 7. So,
how long do they use it?
Oh. Last one was 3 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's brutal.
You might have put them on. Oh, wow, that's weird.
Very
big
bump
right here.
Well, let
me say something.
Well, good. I can take.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. That's my financial slide.
She did have to report for you right there.
I did.
She took probably about a.